If you don't use the cart return, you have no one to blame but yourself when Bobby Carpenter comes for you. Carpenter and Rothman.
All right, welcome back aboard. Oh, he's gone from the cheap seats to the front row. Our buddy, our great field analyst for ESPN Radio, college football, NFL, and more. He is Ian Fitzsimmons on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Fitzy, hope you and the family are well.
I'm always in the cheap seats. They are. You know that. Those are my people out there, man. That's my crew. I'm out there with the iguanas, baby. How are we, folks? How we doing? Everybody good?
We're doing okay, man. We, you know, there were a million storylines for Ohio State football this year until spring got scrapped. But let's start with your former co-host and friend, Kirk Herbstreit, who most radio shows are now portraying because, in a good way, because he's the only one that's actually put out there that he feels that, and this was on your show, that he's not optimistic that we're kicking this thing off on time. And nobody has a crystal ball, and no one's going to pin him down to this. Do you share his opinion? I'll start with that.
Well, when we talked yesterday to have him come on, it was about opening day. I mean, as you guys know, he's a diehard Red Legs fan, and it was just going to be favorite opening day memories. You know, he and I, was back in the days of Herbstreit and Fitzsimmons there on the Fan, I mean, there were times we'd go down for a day game, so we're on it and catch four or five innings and drive back to Columbus. I mean, and do a show, and our bosses had no idea. I mean, it was hilarious. I'm like, dude, what are we doing? I mean, that's how much of a diehard baseball fan that guy is.
Maybe they did have an idea. Maybe they were just a little bit clueless.
Maybe, yeah. Or maybe they're like, you know what, as long as they put together a decent show today, we'll take it. I mean, to hell with it, right? You know, but it was that's where we were going to start, and then he went into, look, man, I know we were going to talk baseball on opening day and, you know, and that kind of stuff, but, you know, I'm a little concerned about the fall. And that's when I went, well, I do what? And that's when he got into it, man. And he had a very firm message. If people don't do what we're supposed to do, we're not going to have high school, college, or pro football. Mm-hmm. And his big thing is, it's not that we're not going to kick, you know, those coronaviruses' butt by the fall. His whole thing is, and Bobby, you can talk to this more than I can, if we're not practicing by like late June, early July, your body won't be calloused enough. I mean, it's about player safety as well. And then also, how in the world do you put 130 people in one room, if this thing isn't completely done come July? How are you putting these guys in locker rooms, you know, and in meeting rooms together if it's not done in a few months, if we haven't kicked its butt by July? So it's not about just, hey, man, we're good by September. Everything's fine. We're back to normal. His whole point was, we got to be back to normal by late June, early July, or we're going to have a problem having football. And it went from being a very light conversation to a firm message that if you look across from coast to coast, man, his comments from the show last night are everywhere.
Everywhere.
And it's almost like the threat of not having football gave a holy you know what moment to a lot of young people and just people across the country. Wait, no football? Holy! Wait a minute!
Yep,
get away!
Right. It
Stay
put
away
football.
From me. I don't
want put
to talk
football
to anybody,
in perspective.
Right?
Yep, you're right.
Yeah. I mean, and I think he's the first guy to really put that fear factor in. Like, and it took the mighty game of football and us possibly being deprived of football in order to wake a lot of people the hell up. And God bless him for doing it.
Well, here's one other thing I don't think people realize, Ian, and we touched on it, you know, right before you came on, and I mentioned it this morning on Get Up, where if there's no football, I was talking to a friend of mine who works over in the athletic department, there's not going to be any college sports next year because that's what funds all of it. And so if you don't have that cash infusion coming in at the beginning of the year, you don't have 100,000 people filling these stadiums to pay for the rest of the sports, I'm not sure how they have that going forward as well, because they will have a deficit. You talk about the bailing out, you know, for the stimulus package now. The stimulus package for college athletics would have to probably be almost as large.
Bobby, there ain't no doubt, man. And that's a great point, one I have not even thought of. But let me get your perspective on this for people who may not understand what Herb was talking about last night. Cause I talked to my brother about it, who's a special teams coordinator at Vanderbilt. I had been in the NFL for, 5-6 years before that as the assistant teams coordinator for the Detroit Lions. he's like, Herbie's right, man. If we don't have this thing cornered by late June, he said July 1st at the latest. I mean, how do you put 125 with preferred walk-ons, right, into a meeting room?
No,
you can't do it.
I mean, they could try to find creative ways, I think, to maybe limit that number to like 30 or 40 guys in a room. But like you said, there's going to be – yeah, but then let's not just forget about that. The directive in football is to take a ball and cross a white line with it between a couple other white lines. You have 11 guys on one side that are trying to do that and 11 guys on the other side that are stopping to do that or trying to prevent that from happening. And the way they do that is physical contact, Ian. So it's not like, yeah, we're talking about social distancing.
The same air as the person right directly across from you,
well,
right?
I said this. I go, there's a good chance that I've had another man spit and sweat in my mouth on a football field. I mean, just the amount of years you play, you guys get sweaty, you get hit. I mean, who knows what's flying into your face? Like, that's just the reality of it. So if it's not taken care of by then, yeah, forget about even meeting in the meeting rooms. You're talking about two sweaty dudes running into each other who might have a runny nose, and who knows what's going on with all the transfer of DNA and germs and all that stuff going back and forth.
Ain't no doubt. And the best thing that Herb did, again, going from – and again, the intent was, let's have some fun, let's bring some levity, let's talk anything but football. And he did a complete 180 and delivered a very firm message, which, again, a lot of people are now talking about coast to coast. And maybe this is what – especially some of these young folks – and I'm not an anti-millennial guy. I mean, my generation, I'm Generation X. We were supposed to be the end of the world, right? I mean, we were the most irresponsible crew. And then before us, it was the hippies, right? You know, I mean, they were supposed to be the end of the world. We can go on back. I mean, it's nonstop. The only generation that gets a clean hall pass is the World War II generation. Those folks, men and women, American badasses. The rest of us, we all have our faults. But the whole spring break thing and everything else, man, I mean, it's just stupid. It was naive. It was the invincibility myth. And I think Herb's comments last night, I mean, it spread like wildfire. And hopefully – the thought of not having ball. And Brian Kelly, head coach at Notre Dame, said the same thing to SVP, you know, the night before. He was talking about it July 1st. You know, we got to have this thing kicked by July 1 or we may not have ball. Because also it's player safety as well. These guys can't work out together. No one at Ohio State is working out right now outside of at home. And what do you have at home? You doing Herschel Walker? You going push-ups, dips, you know, I mean, sit-ups during TV commercials? Because a lot of these guys don't have the equipment. Heck, my neighbor next door, Jack Barton, is going to play at Vanderbilt. He's going to be a freshman. He's like, can you ask your brother? Or I mean, I don't have the weights here. What else can I do? And he's talking to their strength coach, and he's like, you know, FaceTiming and going, this is what I've got. What do you want me to do? Because he doesn't have all the equipment needed to do their weight programs because you can't go to a gym. You can't go to your high school gym. So it's those aspects when it comes to player safety as well and having your body just be ready for football season. When, as you guys know, man, I mean, look, this is the time now where champions are made. It's right now when your strength coach has got you just going praying for mama, like, please come save me, right? Because you're just grinding. This is the time when championships are being won and lost, and these guys don't have that ability right now. They're going to need some time to get their bodies ready along with just having this thing rock. So everyone, we just need to listen to Herb and do our jobs, stay away from each other. You see a friend at the grocery store, man, just say Heisman, stay the hell away.
Heisman.
We can talk later.
I think you nailed it. Talking with Ian Fitzsimmons, ESPN college football analyst with us here on The Fan. I think you nailed it. I think there are two extremes here. I think there are the people that are always like, oh, he needs to chill. This is 5 months away. And the way he's actually – football, see, here's the deal. All these sports started to fall like dominoes. Football was the one that was out there that was the gift. It was the present at the – it was the pot at the end of the rainbow, right? It was that we're not – at least we'll have football, I think, is what most people were thinking. Okay, if you got to lose some of the NBA or the NHL or MLB doesn't start on time, I can live with that. It's just don't touch my football. And I think if Herbie did anything, and this is why I think you nailed it, if he put it out there, first of all, nothing's off the table. Nobody has a crystal ball. And if he wants to be shocked that it would happen, that's fine. I'm glad he did put it out there because I think if we get too casual and too complacent on this, then you're going to lose your mighty football. Before we cut you loose, give me 60 seconds here. I'm going to put you in the GM chair. You've seen them both up close. Tua or Burrow?
Burrow.
Who would you – really?
Not, yeah, oh, yeah. And it's two tightrope surgeries, procedures on both ankles, one on the right, one on the left, and then a very, very serious hip injury. And I know the video, and he looked great. And I'm a big Tua fan. But Joe Burrow's only injury was the one that set him back at Ohio State. What did he miss, AR, with 2 weeks? When he was, you know, battling for the backup spot, you know, against Haskins. And that was it. That's the only time that he's ever been injured. And he literally, literally had the best season we have ever seen in college football last year. I mean, I can't tell you how many people I've talked to, either his teammates or other coaches or Jimbo Fisher during the national championship game. When I asked the head coach of Texas A&M, you know, during the game, we're on the sidelines, and they came down to me, Sean McDonough and Todd Blackledge, as I was standing with Jimbo, and I said, hey, you know, you're up two scores right now. You got about 6 minutes to go. Do you consider throwing the football? And he's like, with that guy wearing nine? Absolutely. Next play, by the way, first and 10, 8-yard completion. That dude is just different. He is a different beast. And Cincy, don't get cute here. Just pull the damn trigger. I mean, that guy has got everything you want. He's an emotional leader. I got more Burrow stories than you can imagine. You ain't got time for him, AR. But here's my favorite one. I'll leave you with this. His very first start as an LSU Bengal Tiger 2 years ago against preseason number 8 Miami, neutral site. I had the game in Jerry World. A brawl almost breaks out between the Canes and LSU. Gerald Willis right in the middle of it, a big hog molly D tackle. BC, you remember that guy. And sure. The next thing you know, who's in the middle of this about-to-be brawl? Joe Bleepin' Burrow, the quarterback. And one of the guys looks at one of the Canes, goes, man, you a transfer. You couldn't cut it. You had to run. He's like, I'll be wearing 9. Come find me.
That's awesome.
I'm going, oh, my God. He comes out of the tunnel right in front of Gerald Willis, puts the U up, and then slams it down. He goes, not tonight, mother bleepers. And guess what?
Goodness.
He delivered. That was the very first win, and an unbelievable one, and that's the mental makeup. We know the physical part. That's the mental makeup of Joe Burrow. That dude's
Burrow,
a bad man.
That is awesome. Burrow, Sly Stallone in the rematch against Clubber Lang. You don't have to look to find me. I'm here. Well done, Ian. It's always good to have you, buddy.
I'll be wearing 9.
That's
come
awesome.
Find me.
Be well, man. Best of your family. We'll talk to you soon. That's Ian Fitzsimmons, ESPN Radio. He's the man. Fan alum as well. Back in moments, Carpenter and Rothman on The Fan.
You think that during a 3-hour radio show, Man and Bone would say something intelligent? You'd be wrong. Common Man and T-Bone.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
The Fan.